Don't mind if I do, T-Pain. Don't mind if I do. Thank you guys for joining us on another episode of An Earful in the Emerald City. Thank you guys for being here. Like always, we appreciate it. Got a good show for you here, you guys. Flew solo last week. Hope you guys were able to put up with that. I always get a little ranty, but I got some things on my chest, you guys. I got some things swirling around in my head, and if I don't get them out, they're going to make me crazy, all right? So, unfortunately, I had to inflict them upon you poor bastards. But, hopefully you guys got through that. I got a good one for you today, though. Got a very special guest in-house with me. Local comedian here, turned L.A. comedian. Been down there for a couple years now, getting in the game, making his name on the scene. Very funny guy, very funny comedian, Mr. Mitch Burrow is joining me for the show. Mr. Mitch Burrow had a good little sit down for me. Actually, it wasn't even a sit down, actually. It was a lay down. He, the second I told him it was just me and him, he made himself more than comfortable on that couch. You know, he was looking like Rose from Titanic over there. He was definitely getting comfortable, which I didn't mind. So he sat down, talked with me, went pretty well. Some good laughs in there. So, hope you guys enjoy my time with Mr. Mitch Burrow. Thank you guys.
Album was as good as Nevermind. So would they have continued to be amazing, or would they have dipped off at a certain point?
I mean, like you said, they certainly shook the sophomore slump, no question about that. But I mean, you never know, though. You never know. They might have had three or four more amazing albums, or that could have been the crescendo of their career, and it could have been a drop off. Like the NASDAQ in 2008, you know?
Do you think that some artists are dependent on drug use to be creative? Or do you think it's an excuse to use drugs?
I don't think they're dependent on it, but I think their personality style is, there's really no way around it. I mean, you look at the shit that Jimi Hendrix did, and he was probably high out of his mind all the time. But it was so raw, you know, and it was so, there was so much passion behind it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure the drugs had to be involved at some level, you know, just to get to that.
Yeah. Have you watched that? It's on Showtime. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. It's a show about stand up in the 70s. And one of the guys is addicted to heroin, and he gets clean, and then he has problems like being funny still. After that.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, well, that's just, I think that just changes you so much when you go from being a complete fucking addict like that to now you're trying to be sober, now you're trying to be a regular member mm-hmm. of society and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, that dramatic of a change, you're going to lose something. I mean, it was just all those chemicals and all the things that came together just had that perfect cocktail to create, you know, like you said, that humor that
yeah.
he could come with. But, God, that is a fucking tightrope walk to act if there ever has been one.
Yeah, I've never, like, had any addiction, really, other than, like, fast food, I guess.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, that's it.
It's, you know, as far as drinking goes, probably much more of it than I should, you know. As a 32-year-old probably shouldn't be blacking out every other weekend, you mm-hmm. know. That probably isn't the best. But besides a little excess drinking, a lot of weed smoking, yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I feel like there's nothing I've ever, like, been addicted to where I couldn't stop
myself.
Where
do you drink it?
I just drink, you know, go out with friends on the weekend, you know, kick back after work. I mean, I'm sitting around at home, and I'll have a beer or two, you know, but not get too crazy. But you just go out on the weekend, somebody's fucking birthday party. There's always a goddamn birthday party. It's like, yeah, people, we haven't died yet. Way to go, guys. All right, let's get shit-faced drunk because of it. But I mean, there's always something you can find. It is one of those things that if you're not careful, it can get away from you pretty quickly
with drinking.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess, like, I mean, The thing, you just got to put on some weight, man. I weigh 300 pounds, and I don't black out anymore.
That's true. That's
When I was in the Marine Corps and I was in shape, yeah, I blacked out quite a bit. But, you know, now that I'm a fat piece of shit, it can't black me out, man. I can drink from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep and feel a little buzzed.
Yeah, that BMI is definitely one of the factors that people do not keep in account. That body mass.
It's kind of one of the things I wish I could get in shape for, so I could pay less money getting drunk.
You could explain that to him at the jammy bag. So, you know, what are your goals? What are you here for, Mitch? Huh?
I don't want to spend as much money on alcohol.
Well, my main goal is to cut my bar tab, so I figure this is a nice roundabout way to do that.
Fuck yeah.
Hey, you know, motivation comes in many different forms. But
are we recording?
We are recording, yes.
So that's a pretty good intro for your show.
Yeah, hey, you know.
You don't have like a, hey, this is Aaron Berg.
No, I do that afterwards. It's, you know, it's a little too rough when you try to force it in there, you know.
So you just want to start talking about like what concert I would. All right, well, so what concert would you want to see?
Dead or alive. You know, I always do this to myself. I always pose these questions to other people.
Uh-huh.
And then without considering an answer for myself at all, which is like the dumbest thing ever, because most people are asking a question so that you eventually ask them back. That's all. They're not even listening to what you actually say.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, well, me, you know. But I would have to say, man, that's such a tough question. I mean, there's so
it's
many.
It's the last concert you get to see, because I mean, you realize eventually there will be a last concert that you ever see.
Mm-hmm. I would have to, I mean, honestly, I would, just because I was a hip hop kid, you know, grew up in the 90s, had older siblings, so they exposed me to all that stuff. Mom didn't care if we swore. I would probably, if I hadn't already seen him multiple times, I would probably have to go with Eminem, you know, just cause, just cause the time of my
You've
life.
You've seen him multiple times?
Yeah. I saw him a couple times when he came around and toured.
I don't think I've ever been to a rap concert.
Oh my God. His... Like you can tell like when they're into it, you know. You can tell when they're just there to hammer a check, you know. They're just getting paid $20,000, or you can tell when they're there and they're into it because they put their passion into that song. You know, they put everything they have. He's out there. He's working around. He's working the crowd, going to this side, going to that side, fucking waving his shirt in the air, cutting it. Cut the fucking hold up 1 minute. Hold, you know, he's talking to everybody. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just all around. What other
rap artists have you seen in concert?
I've seen like Ludacris, I've seen Nas, I've seen Kendrick Lamar, Bone
Thugs
and Harmony.
So you still go to rap concerts?
I haven't been to one in a while.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That's
that was
within the last 2 years.
That was Bumper Shoot, I think 3 years ago. Yeah. That was probably the last one, to be honest. But,
you know, I take it back. I saw Kendrick Lamar at Bumper Shoot.
That was it. A couple, yeah, it was probably the same year.
Two, three
in the Key Arena. Yeah,
was it four?
It might have been four. It definitely might have been four.
It was the last year that I did Bumper Shoot. It was because Hart was playing in Key Arena the same night.
Okay.
In fact, what's his name open for Kendrick Lamar?
Joey Badass.
There, yeah. And then Kendrick Lamar, and then at like 9 o'clock that night, Hart played.
I didn't know
in
about
there
that
as well.
One,
no. Also, there was the son of the Led Zeppelin, or not Led Zeppelin. Yeah, the Led Zeppelin drummer. What was his name?
I was gonna say, is that the one arm guy? But I think that was Def Leppard.
No, that's Def Leppard.
Yeah, that's all. I don't know band members. You know, I don't know the member's name. I mean, we were just talking about Dave Grohl. Obviously, that's a legend. But they right over my head, dude.
Well, whoever Led Zeppelin. The drummer of that band, he died, mm-hmm. and now his son does like a tribute band for Led Zeppelin, and they all perform that night. But that's the only time I've ever seen a rap artist in concert, mm-hmm. and I guess it was Kendrick Lamar at Key Arena.
That was a good one, man, because again, you know, he's a younger guy. You know, Eminem was probably a little bit older when I saw him, even when I saw him. But, you know, yeah, Kendrick, he was out there. He's working the crowd. I mean, nice thing for them about Bumper Shoot is they're only doing an hour and a half show.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like a full fucking concert where you're up on stage for three and a half hours. I mean, that's a lot of work. You know, you just tell jokes on stage for 45 minutes, an hour, and you know how much work that is. I mean, you're up there, you're sweating.
It's hard
work,
people.
Your voice is raw. You know, it's definitely not easy. And get all that emotion in there. You know, you're bouncing around and dealing with the crowd.
You know what's funny, I was thinking about this because you mentioned Kendrick Lamar and being at Bumbershoot. People complain about the prices for Bumbershoot, and they talk about how it used to be about local artists and da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff, right? And now the prices are expensive. But you're seeing amazing acts when you go. But there's a festival in that same center right there that's just what people complain about Bumbershoot used to be, and nobody fucking goes to it. So it's like, what,
is it the Folklife? What one is that?
It might be Folklife.
And I think it's free too. I think you don't absolutely have to pay for it.
Free. Yeah. You just walk in.
Yeah.
There were tons of bands playing and everything, but there was hardly like anybody there because it wasn't all the big names that Bumbershoot comes in. Because
they weren't charging $150 per day.
Exactly. That's it. Like, you complain, but you still go to the big one because it's got the shit that you want to see.
Yeah.
If Bumbershoot was still, you know, $5 or whatever it was back in the day, you would get shit performers. Like, I mean, that's all it is.
Get,
like,
the local bluegrass team.
Yeah, that's it.
No, that's a good point. And yeah, a lot of days. I mean, this year's the lineups, they were suspect in my opinion. You know, definitely not the best years they've had.
Wasn't Bumbershoot was last week?
Two weekends ago.
Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah, 2 weekends
ago. And then, so that was before the fires.
Yeah. It was, well, yeah, it was right before. It was right before. We had some smoke issues before that.
Did you go see any big artists?
Like I said, there wasn't really anybody on the list that really got me excited. So, I mean, I went like 2 years ago because there was a couple people I want to see. I went that year because I wanted to see Kendrick. But, no, you're right. I mean, if they have a good action-packed day, I mean, you could end up seeing four or five pretty famous bands for $100, $120 for a ticket. So, I mean, that's still some pretty decent value, not to mention the fact that it's right in Seattle center. So it's not like you're driving out to the Gorge to see somebody
or
making a big production of it. So there's definitely that value there. That's funny though. I didn't know that nobody shows up for that other one. Cause
there were people there, but
tell me about it.
It wasn't anything like what you would see at Bumbershoot. Like, there were more people complain about Bumbershoot being too expensive than that were actually at that other festival that I saw.
That's probably true, yeah. But the thing is, though, all the people that go to that, I bet you all of them are like fucking pumped about that festival, especially the fact that nobody shows up. They're like, hey, good. Good.
We got it all to ourselves.
We don't need all those fucking yahoos here. Yeah. You know, so.
You know, what's crazy is bringing up Dave Grohl is it blows my mind that there are people who probably listen to the Foo Fighters and love Dave Grohl and don't realize that he was the drummer of like the band that changed it all, like back in the 90s. Like, that's right. Also, do you understand back in the 90s? That's like 30 years ago.
Yeah. I know. I was at the store the other day and I was looking at they have the stickers that say, you had to be born this year to buy cigarettes.
1999
now.
Yeah, but for alcohol, I saw that same sticker and it was 1996.
1996.
And I was like, I was 16 years old when you had to be
cruising around on BMX. Yeah, trying to one tit. Just trying to touch one tit. Whatever we could do.
I successfully lost my virginity at 16. So you're a little nerdy 16-year-old, one tit touching self. Guys, I had some things to tell you.
Just give me a little peep of the nipple, all right? that's all I want. That's all I need.
I feel like, you know, still at 37 years old, that's what I'm still. Just let me just touch one tit.
Am I asking too much? Jesus. Yeah, I know. It's
priorities don't really change as you get older for men. No. You want to touch.
It's a just boob what you're when do you're about a
baby.
It.
You want to touch a boob when you're a teenager, and you want to touch a boob when you're in your 30s. It's all about the boob.
It's all about the quest for the titties.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. It's 16. That's impressive, though, man. That's impressive. I was...
I grew up in the country. There was nothing to do but fucking hunt. So that's what we did.
And it wasn't much of a hunter.
I was hunting that pussy, man. You know?
Yeah, exactly. One of the most prized steaks a hunter can find.
Did you turn into the pussy hunter all of a sudden?
Oh, I've always been I've been the pussy hunter too. You know, I just didn't realize it till I was like 19 or 20. I mean, I realized it. I just didn't know what to do about it. You know, but yeah, I was such a pussy. I mean, and the worst part about it too is that if I was kind of a dick and I kind of went for it, I could have got a ton of tail in high school, probably.
You think so?
I think I could have, yeah. And I was just had no clue what I was. Oh, hey, how you doing? want, you know. Just fucking, just a complete pussy with no genitals at all.
When did you figure out how to talk to women?
It happened probably, I want to say, four months ago.
Looking at the way this place is decorated, I'd say you're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks now, at least.
I love the single mirror hanging on the wall, and other than that, it's really kind of like bare bones style here.
Yeah, I figured, you know, I had the King Griffey Jr. poster, but I was like,
yeah, that's. I don't know how much that one's going to
help me. Yeah, he was the kid. I'm 32 now, so you know we're kind of on different paths here. But
you got the black leather sofa, and then the cardboard box full of potato chips. Mm-hmm. This is a real.
It's a
bachelor pad.
It's everything a guy needs and nothing he doesn't.
There is a piece of artwork on the wall of people with umbrellas. Mm-hmm. So that must be somewhere other than Seattle where it's raining.
That's actually from Tampa, Florida. Irma, it's going on right now.
See, if you want to make this a real
too soon, guys.
A real solid. I just don't care. They're fine. it's a little thunderstorm down there. They'll be okay.
See, when you're decorating as a guy, it's like you want it to be effective, but you also want to maintain the minimalist lifestyle, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need to take this painting down because this is a little bit too much, and then replace it with a deer head.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then
that's true. Maybe a six-pointer.
When a woman comes in here, she'll see that you're a provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
shows like, you're real alpha.
Yeah, you can go out there and get the meat yourself. Also, I hate the term alpha. And beta, like when a person who thinks he's a stud or whatever, like calls another man a beta. I'm just like, you're using science terms. You're just as much of a nerd as the person that you're talking about. Like,
that's true. You're speaking Klingon just like the rest of these idiots.
It's so that's ridiculous a good point.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, like I'm not a wolf. Okay, like, I think using terms like alpha and stuff like that for people is a little weird.
Yeah, I like it because I think I call somebody a beta male. I think of a beta fish. Although they are the fighters, they just look so weak and like girly as they're swimming through the water with their little wavy.
See, I like to be a little more positive. I like to think of it in software terms, and they're the premiere version that's getting the bugs worked out. You know, they have a chance to be better. They just need a few updates.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, they need the new iOS.
Yeah, that's it, man. Just get the bugs and the kinks worked out. They'll be good.
Yeah. No, you asked me, man, when it comes to talking to women, when I figured out. I mean, you know, honestly, maybe I haven't figured it out still. Who fucking knows?
Well, we need to tell your listeners. How many do you have, by the way? 7, 8? Podcasts are hard, man.
Yeah, it's not easy. We're doing okay. We've had some good episodes. Some are better than others, but
it's a slow build.
It's a slow build. That's what we're hoping for here, Mitch, you know?
Every new episode should be it should have more listeners than the last one.
That
way you're always getting better.
If you're Joe Rogan, yes, that is definitely the way to go.
But if you have all right, so probably most of your listeners are men. They're probably out there trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with these ladies. You know, let's give them your your keys to success. Let's let them, what are these fellas need to do to get the ladies?
I think first off, you when it comes to dealing with girls, I think you need to
wait till they're women for legal reasons.
Yes, that is. That takes a while though, man. You know, like I'm just turning into a man here. You know, I'm fucking 32 and I'm just turning into a man here. But no, I think you got to be able to evaluate.
Hold
who
on
you're
one second. One second. I'm sorry. I just noticed something. The spring on this thing. Watch. I can play like guitar,
and they can hear that.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
All right, I can't touch that anymore. Sorry, listeners.
No, it's kind of neat though. Bells and whistles to, it's a lot of shiny things.
All right, I'm done.
To get you distracted with, but no, when you're dealing with women,
mm-hmm.
with independent women,
Oh, I'm a single ladies. Oh,
yeah. Sorry. You got to, I feel like you got to be able to evaluate who you're dealing with.
Okay.
You got to see a girl and you got to be able to break her down relatively quickly. See if you're dealing with somebody.
Break her down.
Yeah. See if she's kind of introverted.
Make her
or
feel
extroverted.
Make her feel insecure.
If she's too confident.
Make her feel weak.
If she's too strong of an independent woman, yeah.
I feel like we're going into, what was the pickup artist or the game? What were those things called? Yeah. Like, it's. Anyway, yeah, but please continue.
No, it's it just, you got to break them down. You know, you got to, and there's a lot of factors. I think age is a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot.
You're 32. What age range are you going out for?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm looking for the probably 24 to 27 year old, somewhere in there. You know,
I want. You don't want to date a 32 year old woman?
No, I want reasonably young, yet still very fertile.
Do you hear that, ladies? Mm-hmm. That could be you.
That could be. Keep playing.
Aaron Berg is on the prowl, so get ready.
It's, see, I talked about this last week, actually, a little bit. The 30-somethings, you know, about my age,
yeah,
they're kind of getting into that panic mode. You know, they're seeing the shot clock is expiring here. It's getting down to it. Their hourglass is slowly draining out of with sand.
Also, let's just, you know, be reasonable. There's a reason that a woman is single at that age, for the most, unless she is divorced with a kid, there is a reason why someone is 30 something and still single. Because I met my girlfriend and she was 31 when we got together. But I got lucky, but I was 36 when she met me, and there's a reason why I was 36 and single. You know, like, I was not a prime candidate for a relationship for the previous, you know, 10 or 15 years.
Yeah. And that is definitely the case with the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
No question. But there is a small contingent that they're always looking for that better man. You know, they had some opportunities. They had some good guys in their life. You know, they weren't bad guys. They took care of them. They weren't the most exciting or the most handsome.
Yeah.
But they were okay. They're waiting for that pie in the sky, number one guy, amazing man, all around, good looks, good job, good this, good that. They want that everything. And what they don't realize is as they keep looking for that, their looks are diminishing and their value is rapidly dropping as well. You know, like they don't realize that.
Do you do comedy? Do you stand up?
Well, I've been slacking the last couple months, but you know, my misogynistic jokes like this though don't usually.
Like in Seattle. Not in Seattle. How well are you doing?
I had a host call me out after a joke. I did a Ghostbusters joke.
What was your Ghostbusters joke?
It was basically that the premise of this movie is so far-fetched that I can't even get on board. You know, if you have women who can't take care of a spider in the shower by themselves, how are you going to fight a supernatural being from a different dimension?
I feel like I might have heard you tell that joke before.
I was telling it a long time, like a year before that movie was even coming out. But so that was my joke. I did it one time down in Seattle, and the host called me out for it.
Who was the host? Do you remember?
He's like that bald redhead guy that has the beard and usually wears a hat. I don't know his name. He's probably a little bit younger than you and a little bit older than me. But
bald redheaded guy with
beard. He has a beard or a goatee, and I can't remember his name.
Who's,
to be honest.
How do you know he's redhead if he's bald?
Because he's got that, you know, he's got that tinge in his beard. You know,
where was it? A Jai Tai or
no? It was at the Underground.
I'm gonna think about that while you.
But it was just like, it was like, dude, come on, like, we're cracking jokes up here, all right?
Albert,
like,
no wait,
it might have been Albert, I think.
Not Albert, Alfred Karsh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was the one. But it was just like, you know, at that point, it was just like, oh my gosh, and I mean, and I got a couple laughs from it, but it's like when the host is calling you out on your misogyny. It's like, give me a fucking break.
When it's a dude, like, I don't know, like, you're just, anytime I see a dude acting like that, it's not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You're just white knight. This is how they're trying to get laid, mm-hmm. by being like, hey, ladies, I'm an ally.
That guy doesn't care about you, but I do.
And it's how many gross, like, rapists and sexual assault, like, have been posted on Facebook, and yet they were the ones who were constantly, like being social justice warriors on the internet. Like it's a facade that they're using to try and like sneak in as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it.
And it's more grimy. It's honestly more grimy because like I'll be honest with you and upfront, you know, and you might think I'm an asshole for it at times, but
I think like
I'm not going to sell you a dream.
You know James Milton?
Yeah.
If James Milton is around a woman knows that James Milton is going to want to have sex with her. You know, like there's no, she's going to know stone cold sober and she's going to know when she's drunk later. There's never, she's not going to make any poor decisions around James because it's clear up front that he has no interest in discussing books or politics with her. He just wants to have, now a social justice warrior is going to be talking to her about feminist movements and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and shit like that. And then they're going to get drunk, and then they're going to have their defenses down, and then they're going to do something that they regret with this person because they thought that he was just interested in them as a person.
Yep.
That's why I think the James Miltons of the world are so much better.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no disguise. You know who that person is. If a woman is around him when she's sober, she's going to know that she doesn't want to be around him later when she's drunk if that's not what she's interested in.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very clear, and which is a better person in my opinion.
Well, at least you know where he's at. You know where he's at, you know?
I used to date this girl in Seattle, and they were standing outside of the Underground, and this girl was walking by, and I think him and my girl were like smoking a cigarette. This girl fucking walks by, and James just like exhales his cigarette and goes, "Hey, girl, you got a fat ass," right? And then my girlfriend at the time looked at him and was like, "Did you just say that?" And he was like, "Yeah, she's got a fat ass." And she was like, "Jesus Christ." But that girl knew, you know, like she knew what kind of person James was. There was no, there wasn't any deception. Yeah. Like she knew, I'm not going to talk to this guy anymore.
I need to head the exact opposite direction immediately.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it is, it's, you know, when you see those guys, those white knights, it's honestly creepy, and it's like more disgusting in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like I'm not gonna mislead you. I'm not gonna try to sell you as somebody I'm not. I'm just gonna, you know, see if we vibe well, see what's going on, and all right, hey, well, so what's going on? What are we doing here?
Maybe I can put my fingers inside of you.
So hey, did I get you drunk enough yet to where you might make a mistake? I mean, I was thinking about the other day, dude. What percentage of sex is completely sober?
Oh, not a lot. I mean, maybe once you're in a relationship, but I mean, even my girlfriend now, like, when we first started dating, like a lot of the time, you know, we would go out, we would have drinks together, and we would come back, we would have sex, like whatever. Only like within the last 6 months has it mostly been sober because we live together now. So, yeah. Excuse me. So like we're at home, we have dinner or whatever, and then later before we go to sleep, we might have sex. You know, it's not like that's when sober people have sex, is when they live together.
Yeah, that's true.
People who have their own place, they usually like meet up, they go out and do stuff. Like it's rare, I think.
Getting together with somebody, having a couple drinks, doing whatever.
Yeah,
doing
we should go back to your place or whatever. You know, like that's how it works.
That's true. I think too, you know, if you got like kids in the mix or whatever, you know, you got to kind of mash it in wherever you can. So that that percentage of sober sex probably does increase as the relationship gets more harmonious. But man, I honestly, for me at this point though, I've been in somewhat serious relationships. I don't want to overbrand them, but I'd say I'm about 93% on the not sober.
Did you hook up with any comics yet?
No, but I have got lucky after a couple shows though.
But never with a comic.
Never with a comic. No.
Is there a Seattle comic that you find attractive?
Yeah,
I think Aaron Engel's like the only. I don't know.
There's some cute ones.
I'm
definitely
trying to think of who.
I've had some opportunities, but again, man, that's just a shit storm. It's just like, is it even going to be worth it?
Who's the most attractive comedian in Seattle right now?
Who's the most attractive? Well, you left town a bit ago, so I don't know. That's a tough question. There's a couple of handsome guys on the scene. Let's not rule them out. All right.
Okay. I mean, if that's who you're gonna
good looking dudes.
All right.
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't been getting out much. I mean, there's some new faces that I don't even recognize. So,
got to go to Jai Tai, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Is that where the hot ones are at?
Yeah. Yeah. You're always better off in the city. You're always better off in the city, you know, especially since a lot of the people that go to the shows are people that are using public transportation or walking. So the closer to the city, the better. But,
well, where are the good shows? You got, obviously, the Underground. I'm going to go to the open mic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jai Tai on Tuesdays.
Jai Tai, that's not a bad spot. You get Laughs. Laughs is pretty good.
Yep, I'll be there on Thursday. When's this getting released?
Tomorrow, probably.
I'll be at Jai Tai, or not Jai Tai, I'll be at Laughs Thursday at 8 p.m. Come see me.
14th of September.
Yeah.
14th of September, day after my birthday. Yeah, that's a good spot. There's a couple of other little spots. I mean, there's not a ton to choose from. TCC is obviously
that's too far to go. But like, what about like in Seattle? Yeah. Where's the best open mic or whatever? To go hang out. See, you're off your game, man. You should be able to spit these out.
I like going up to Tony V's up in Everett, but I like doing that just because I can get 10, 12 minutes at
Tony
least.
Tony V, what day is that?
That's on Mondays.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. It's hit and miss. You know, you're at the Underground. They'll get you on. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I just like it. Yeah, because I could get 12, maybe even 15 minutes there if not a lot of comics show up. You know.
All right.
And even if they get like 10, 12 people in the audience, sometimes it can still be a good crowd. So, but I, it's just all you know. They got something for everybody. I mean, that's what's kind of nice about the scene here is even the open mics. You know, not two of them aren't even the same. Everybody's got their own little thing going on, so, and it's good for the comedians because there's definitely a lot of people getting around these days. So obviously, the more shows you can do, the better. You know, if we could just get some more audience members.
Yeah, for sure. That's critical for a comedy show is all of you people coming out to watch and laugh. Right now, Aaron's smoking marijuana out of his vaporizer. It looks like something that what's that big fat motherfucker on Star Wars? Jabba the Hutt. It looks like Jabba the Hutt's pipe, I think. And he still, it takes him a while to pull a toke off of that.
You got to really go for it. You got to really go for it.
How much does a setup like that cost?
Oh, that's a fine piece of machinery like that. That's going to set you back at least $60.
Oh, that's not bad.
At least. No, it's fine. You get it shipped right to
your I have a vape pen.
Yeah,
but you have to use oils.
Convenient way to smoke. This is nice because I can be high all the time, yet still feel an air of superiority over everybody else. You know, that's what I like.
That might just
be
your own personal.
Well, yeah, it affects everybody differently. You know, yeah, it keeps my smug level nice and high while still being under the influence.
That might be something you want to work on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, no, definitely is. But that's the way to do it, though, man. Like I said, it's like those, you know. When you were in your early 20s, late teens, and getting high, doing all that bullshit, you know, shit you weren't supposed to do.
When I was in my early 20s, I was in the Marine Corps.
Mm.
So I wasn't getting high.
You definitely weren't getting high then, yeah.
I was living in Okinawa, Japan.
Okinawa.
Traveling the world. It was awesome.
That'd be a good spot. Well, not right now, but
that was a good way to spend my 20s, I think, in the military. 18 to 23. It was a good time.
18, yeah, that's one of those things that the earlier you get through it, the better, probably, you know. And if you're smart enough to sign up right when you're 18,
God, I'd be fucking retiring right like next year if I would have stayed in.
Yeah, that's a crazy career though, military career. I don't know if I could do that. Do you think you could actually do that?
Yeah, I mean, I was in for 5. I only need to do that 3 more times.
Yeah,
you know, it was good. I enjoyed it. I think I just got to a certain point where I was like, all right, let's see what else is out there. So I got out. But, yeah, I think it would have been – I would have enjoyed staying in, I think. I would have had a good time. Now I'm feeling depressed because I got out of the Marine Corps.
First person to ever say that one.
I just got sick. I think a lot of people, you know, kind of miss it that were in and had a good experience. I think it's just the experience that you have. Depends on
the person. Yeah.
Yeah.
What – do you what made you choose the Marine Corps?
My cousin and a buddy of ours signed up, so I wasn't gonna sign up for anything else. But a lot of my family were military, so I was definitely joining the military. It was just kind of peer pressure, I guess, with the Marines. As far
you
as
knew
like,
that in high school that you were gonna go that way.
Oh yeah, I dropped out of high school because my family owned a business, and I wanted to join the military, so I dropped out when I was 16. And I started working for my family. I got my GED. And then I joined the Marine Corps the day after my 18th birthday. Because I just didn't... High school was, like, boring to me. I didn't like it. I didn't like waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was to get on a bus and ride to school and then sit there for 8 hours a day doing nothing, basically. Like, school wasn't fun. And then end up coming home and then having to continue doing schoolwork. Because apparently the 8 hours that you're there isn't enough for them to fucking teach you the shit that they need to.
Yeah, you gotta have 3 hours of homework to go along with it.
And instead, I could just go for... I spent 2 years working the family business before I went and joined the military. You know, and that was fine. You know, like that. I don't think like everyone should drop out of high school and get a GED, but it worked for me. It was great.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you hear about people who drop out of high school, and the first thing you think to yourself is, oh, this person's a complete fuck up. You know, this person is screwing up their life. They're probably doing a bunch of drugs, getting into some bullshit, this or that, whatever, whatever. But half the people that did do that, went that route, I think were just like you. They got bored with it. They wanted to move on. They wanted to do something better. They wanted to get a nice car. So they're like, fuck it, I'm going to start working. I'll just start working a job and saving up money.
There should be better like vocational things. Like if you're a kid and you know, like if in your teenage years, you have a pretty good chance of knowing like what you want to do as a career. So if there's something that you can join and get involved with at that age and then not have to deal with all of the same shit, that's like general, standard, generic bullshit high school stuff, they should have that option.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I didn't understand why I needed to, like, I still don't understand why there were certain things that were necessary in high school that you're not going to utilize for later in life. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just rambling now.
No, it is. I completely agree with you. I mean, yeah, think of how many courses you took. You're taking 6, 7, 8 different classes a day. Like, is all this necessary?
Yeah.
Why don't we just double it up and then do 4 more important things that are actually going to pertain to what we may do for our career at some point? You know, like, high school is kind of messed up in that regard. And when you think of like the other ways you play it too, like you said, the vocation, learning something specific. Like, yeah, think if you learn something specific in that time, you get a job fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
Think of you stay in that industry, you know, you focus on that because that's, you knew what you wanted to do. You were one of the lucky ones who knew what you wanted to do.
Yep.
Think of where you're going to be in 5 or 6 years when you're 23 or 24. You've been in that industry for 5 years now. I mean, how much money are you going to be making in your early 20s?
Absolutely. I think also, and like, I will say this. So like there was a school where I grew up so my family business was the granite business. We made tombstones. There was a school because it's Elberton, Georgia is the granite capital of the world, or it's self-proclaimed. I don't know if it's necessarily true or not, but they have rock quarries and tombstone manufacturers all over the city, right? So that high school has a stone cutting vocational course that you can take, mm-hmm, along with the rest of the high school courses, but you can come out of high school already like kind of doing like an apprenticeship program in that industry, and it's a pretty big industry in that city, you know. Yeah. Like it's where like people make $18-$20 an hour, but it's in a town of like 10,000 people, you
know?
It's,
where it's, rent it's, is it's $300 or $400 a month.
Exactly. So like that's a good living wage in a place like that. Yeah, you know.
What was the high school mascot? Was it the Stonecutters?
No, they were the Blue Devils.
Oh, okay. Oh, come on, this makes such sense though.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like,
you know, that could be scary. You know, the guy's cutting stone. He's got a big blade. You're like, shit, this guy's gonna fucking kill me.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, you cut stone with a hammer and a chisel.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
the prospector then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would just look like a carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah. They, no, that's a good idea. And I think maybe they should, that's what they should do. Maybe they should require you to take one vocational course. You know, they say, hey, pick something you like and you're going to take a class on this. And instead of, you know, sitting down, studying, reading or doing all that bullshit, you're hands on, you're getting in there and your instructor's showing you how to do these things as you're doing them.
Yeah.
You know, and he's letting you mess up and he's like, no, hey, you know, you got to do this. And you're actually getting in there. And again, you're not doing the fucking homework, which, yeah, you're here for 8 hours. We don't need 4 more hours of work to do. This is ridiculous. This isn't a full-time job. I'm not going for partner at the firm here. I'm just trying to get my high school diploma.
I think my high school even quit having, like, shop class. We had metals where you could learn how to work a lathe and you learn how to weld, but there was no shop class where you learned how to, like, be a mechanic. And I grew up in the country. Like, that was a, like, mechanic. Like, that was a good skill to learn. Where I grew up. So they were just trying to push you out so you could go to college after that. You know, they get the bare minimums, the English, the social studies, the things like that, and then get out. There was no, like, real vocational training to, like, once you're out of high school, there's something for you to do.
Yeah. And I think that's going to change, too, because I think a lot of people are realizing that school's not for everybody. I mean, you're right. That's all they told us. That's all they told everybody. Just get your basics, get your requirements, get all that shit done, and then, you know, get out there and go to college somewhere. I mean, but it's such a generic, basic way to think. And again, that's not going to work for everybody. Some people just want to get out there and start going on their career.
Yeah, there's really no, I mean, it's hard unless you live in, like, an Everett, where there's a Boeing manufacturing facility or something like that. There's not a lot of places where a high school graduate can get in and start making money. Instead, you're almost forced to go tens of thousands of dollars in debt to get a college degree, and then you can get a job making, you know,
close to what you would have made that first time if you would have just got a job.
Yeah, you know, like, it's just it's kind of there's no real success path other than the military for people with that are just out of high school. That's pretty much it. You can join the military and you can live off of that.
Yeah. And that's how it should be. You know, I mean, you're kind of almost paying your dues to the country as a whole when you do that, you know. But so they definitely deserve to get it set up that way. But yeah, college is not for everybody. And
did you go to college?
I tried for a little while, and I just, honestly, I just realized that it was just a game that I had no fucking clue how to play. And I was like,
where'd you go to college?
I just went to the community college down in Cascadia near where I grew up. I actually, when I was in high school, I did the Running Start program. So I, for a year, I took classes at the college and got college credit.
Yeah.
And then, like the overachiever I was, I just completely wasted those and stopped going about a year later.
When did you start smoking pot?
I had already been smoking weed then, but it wasn't like super regular, you know?
Yeah.
But that might have had something to do with it. Who knows? But again, I just didn't know what the plan was or where this was going to take me. And I'm not going to get saddled up with all that debt when I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with it. I mean, there's people, I have friends who have significant others who have gone to, like, super liberal arts schools, you know, like the most liberal schools out there. And they pride themselves on that. So because of that, they charge an exorbitant amount of money for tuition.
Yeah.
And you go there for 4 years, you rack up like 200 grand in debt.
Yeah.
And you have a degree that you're going to get a job where you maybe make 45.
Maybe, yeah, it's pretty
maybe
insane.
50 grand.
I have a friend, she's a clinical psychologist, and she's doing her internship somewhere in Texas. But man, she racked up like over $200,000 in student loans. Like, because the program that she was in, you couldn't work a day job. You couldn't work at all. You had to go to school, and that was it. So all of her living expenses, so not just the tuition, but her rent, her food, her car, whatever she was living
off of. The fish tacos she got on Thursday.
Everything was through student loans. So, like, what she lived off of for that time that she was in school all went to that. It's insane to think that's how someone has to live their life, to get a job that they want to do, and then they're fucked for the next, like, couple decades just trying to pay off those student loans.
It is. It's like 10 years plus. And
yeah, I paid $85 for my GED, so I feel I feel like I did all right.
Yeah, and the thing is, like you said, you rack up like $200,000 in debt. You're gonna be, once you're out of school, you're gonna be paying like $10,000-$12,000 a year in interest alone. You're gonna be paying like $1,000 in interest. Yeah, because you're getting those loans probably on average for like 4 or 5%.
Yeah,
$200,000. You're paying $10,000-$12,000. You're paying $1,000 a month just for the interest. That doesn't even get your principal down at all. I mean, think of the burden that is on you. Like I would never be able to sleep at night. With that. I have a couple $1,000s in credit card debt.
You could never leave your job.
Never. You could never be unemployed.
Yeah.
You could never be unemployed unless you just want to kill yourself.
But with a GED, I mean, to be quite honest, I'm usually unemployed. So, you know, pretty good. I think more people should get GEDs. That's what I'm saying. Let's make America dumb again.
Let's
fuck college. Let's show how grassroots we are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of education. If the government wants to make it so fucking expensive, you know what? No more education. No one go to college. Don't waste your money on that shit. Mm-hmm. And let's just focus on like building cars and coal mining and shit like that. Let's make Detroit great again. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to be smart to be rich.
Yeah.
Look at The Rock.
You don't think he's smart?
He's probably.
He went to Miami.
True.
Like
I think he was looking for beautiful weather as well as beautiful women.
Yeah, Rock's okay. Rock's not a dummy.
If you smell. No, I know he's not.
Who would be the dumbest rich person?
Yeah, I was trying to think that. Nothing was really hitting me. I mean, you could go with somebody like who'd had the dumbest idea that just somehow fucking caught on?
No, I'm sure there's a musical artist that's dumb as shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
I don't know if it's a rapper or a country singer or what, but there's someone out there who's getting paid a shit ton of money for their songs, and they are just dumb as a box of rocks.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of those artists, actually. Katy Perry?
You think Katy Perry's dumb?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She, after was it? No, it wasn't. It was Ariana Grande. After the people got blown up at her show,
yeah.
Katy Perry went on some talk show or whatever, and she's like, we just need to come together, like, you know, and unite and come together as one, you know, and like stop the violence. And I'm like, oh my God, Katy, that's a great idea. Hey, guys, hey, let's tell ISIS we're going to unite now. We're going to all unite. We're going to come together.
Under Sharia law.
Why don't we think of this, Katy?
That's what
Katy,
do,
you're
yeah.
so great. Oh.
Yeah. Because, like, who does she expect to be like, oh, we were wrong? It's either us and be like, you know what, ISIS, you're right. You know, we should. Or it's
we were
ISIS
wrong.
Who's like, boy, we really took this book out of context. And we have some apologies to be made.
Yeah, right. Those guys, at least the one thing about ISIS is at least they're always owning up to their blunders, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely like, we did it.
Right here. That was us, you know? So they're mature in that regard.
Driving a van through a group of people, that was us.
Yep. We pretty much mainstreamed that one.
There's
no guns over here. What
the
did you
neo-Nazis, want us to do? They're not quite there yet. They're still like, well, that person was being attacked.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get away. You know, that's I will give ISIS credit where credit's due. They are stand-up people when it comes to taking accountability for their actions.
Oh, yeah.
The neo-Nazis still are trying to blame other people.
And the last guy who ran over some people over in Europe, he was swerving back and forth on the sidewalk, okay?
Really going
for it.
So that
guy, he was going for as many points as possible, you know? He was like three or four stars. The police are already on him.
Today is September 11th, huh?
Oh my gosh, it is, yeah.
It's
I never forget.
Do you speaking of never forget, do you remember where you were on 7-Eleven? Because I think some people probably did
yeah.
forget.
I was in high school still, but yeah, I remember the class and everything.
Oh really?
Yeah. And I remember this kid in front of me too, he was like joking about it. Like he was like, Well, maybe we'll get off from school. And I was like, dude, we're high schoolers, but you're a piece of shit, man.
Well, like, did you get out of school?
No.
Oh.
No. We just sat there and all was watched in amazement. We were just like, even my teacher, she was a chick and she like started crying. And yeah, it was crazy.
Do you think she started crying because she was a chick? Do you think any dude comics? Do you think any dude teachers were crying that day?
No, probably. There's probably some.
Did you grow up in Seattle?
Bothell.
Probably most of them were.
I mean, that's crazy. It's, you bring that up. That's crazy. Like, everybody remembers where they were on that day. I mean, where were you?
I was in Okinawa, Japan, in a barracks, but I can't remember if I saw it live. It couldn't have been because, I mean, it was a 13-hour difference. So whatever time that it occurred,
it was in the morning in New York.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe we were all like hanging out at the barracks.
Probably nighttime. It was probably like midnight where you were at.
Well, if it was 8 o'clock, it would have been like 9 p.m. or something like that. So
yeah,
maybe, or maybe I woke up the next. I can't remember.
You probably woke up the next morning after it had already happened. Yeah,
but I definitely didn't understand, like, the scope. You know, I didn't get it. Because for one, I'd never been to New York. I'd never been to a big city. You know, even though I was in the Marine Corps.
Okinawa's not that big?
It's a small island.
Oh, okay.
I might have been to Hong Kong at that point, and that's a pretty big metropolitan area, but still, like, I don't think, like, the plane hitting the towers. I had never been to New York, so I had never seen what had occurred, like, where that happened. So it never, like, really, like, clicked to me, like, how many people's lives were affected by that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, I didn't even though I was in the Marine Corps, I don't think I knew who Al-Qaeda was. I don't think I knew who Osama bin Laden. I didn't watch the fucking news.
Yeah. Well, but those weren't popular names even before that happened.
As soon as I found out, though, I was like, okay, cool. Now we get to, like, do what I joined the military to do.
Is that how it feel? Like, would you guys all think in that?
I think, like, for the Marines, I think for the most part, maybe not people in the Navy or the Air Force, but I think if you join the Marine Corps or the Army, like, you're joining a fighting force.
You're looking for some action.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think, especially if you're, like, 19 years old, 20, I was 21 at the time. So, like, I had 2001, I had 2 years left on my contract, on my enlistment, and I was probably wondering, like, if anything was ever going to happen. I think I was excited.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, to be honest, I was a helicopter mechanic, so it's not like I was going into the thick of it. But yeah. I knew that I was going to deploy and go somewhere after that. And yeah, we did. I went to Iraq.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, you know, no one actually says this, but it's like you watch something like that happen, and I think everybody just knows deep in the back of their mind that the world has just changed, like, just in this one little incident. Like,
yeah,
the world that we lived in, that world doesn't exist anymore. We're now in a new era.
Yeah, now we got to take our shoes off at the airport.
Yeah,
it's
and
bullshit.
Get scanned with that radiation machine. There they can see my tiny dick.
Does this, I know this is a little off topic, but does this microphone stand come with the cord already ran?
Yeah, some of them do. You know, it keeps it a little bit cleaner, so it's not all over the place.
Yeah, because this is like internal
on
the frame, but yours you did yourself.
Yeah, I just kind of wound it up there.
Okay, but this one you bought like this.
Yeah.
I want to get something like this. I like it.
That's the beauty of podcasting, man. You know, anybody can do it.
Clearly.
The equipment. Yeah, exactly. The equipment, it's not that expensive, you know? I mean, you just got to get all the parts and put them all together. But that's the greatness of this world that we live in right now, though. You know, it's like I was talking about the world changing, and this is one thing that's changed for the better. I mean, anybody can have a voice if they want to. How many people are going to be listening? Well, that's entirely up to you and some luck, probably. But
do you think we said anything offensive today?
Probably a few things.
That's what you got
to
do.
But we try to, we try to say at least a few offensive things per show.
You got to get something that someone will take a clip of, and then they'll take a little sound bite, they'll play it out of context, mm-hmm. and then all their friends will go listen so that they can complain.
30 years from now. Don't forget that part.
It's got.
It'll be like 30 years from now when they bring that up. You know.
Oh man, yeah. That's not going
to
help me.
I'll be running for Senate, and they'll be like, "Oh, hey,
get into politics."
Oh, listen to what Aaron Berg had to say about women back in the day.
Do you want
to
get into politics?
No, because I think they're all. I think.
But that's the problem. Like, if you're a good person, you should want to get into politics. So
but
you can
how many
it.
People have gone to Washington think with that mentality. Oh, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to clean this place up and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to be a real honest guy. And then the briefcase is full of money start showing up.
Apparently.
And,
I mean, that's what Donald Trump said he was going to do.
And, you know.
Did maybe, you vote for Trump?
No, I did not. I did not.
Did you vote at all?
I did vote, yes.
Who'd
I made
you vote
a,
for?
I made a protest vote. I wanted to see, actually, I wanted to see the first female president, so I voted for Jill Stein.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, hey, we're that third party. It's coming around, you know.
Well, I voted for Gary Johnson.
You went, John. See, that was where I was going to go, but man, he just had some pretty bad gaffes there.
Did you see the one where he was talking about how he could do the debate with his tongue sticking out?
Yeah, and it was just like, what are you
I just like the fact that he would show up for interviews in a sport coat and blue jeans. Like, that was his that was his dressing up.
Yeah. Yeah, no lapel. Well, I actually probably had the lapel pin, but yeah, I wish, honestly, I wish that the libertarians would have put Jesse Ventura up for it.
Oh, Jesus.
I honestly would have voted for him.
No.
I was in Vietnam, okay? Where were you?
I don't think Jesse Ventura is a good. I think you should continue doing that impression as much as possible. It almost sounds like you're doing an impression of James Adomian doing Jesse Ventura. Do you know Adomian?
I don't think so.
James Adomian has like the greatest Jesse Ventura impression there is.
Oh yeah,
he's amazing. Yeah, he does. Really, he also does a really good impression of Mark Maron.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It's a great way to, honestly, it's a great way to get famous. Like, you just do other stuff that people would have done. And you're not even, like, plagiarizing either, really. You're just, like, you're impressing people if you can nail it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the way to go.
Yeah, I can't do, unless there's someone who sounds exactly like me, I can't do an impression. And I'd still probably mess that one up. Oh, man, I ate popcorn earlier today, and I rubbed my eye. I think I must have had, like, salt remnants.
Oh, Jesus.
I washed my hands earlier, but I guess something happened. I don't know, but I just, like, now my eyes are kind of like, ah, like I just opened them in the ocean or something.
I don't get those people that can do that. Like, what's the matter with you?
Wait, so do you get your potato chips ordered in a big cardboard box on a regular basis, or what?
I'm serious about this shit, Mitch.
Did that come from Costco?
I'm serious. I don't fuck around when it comes to snack food.
Clearly. Is that where that came from?
No, that's just stuff from my work.
Oh, okay. What kind of work do you do?
I drive a truck for a snack food company.
Oh, so that's, you stole that from work?
I like to think of it as borrowed. They kind of owed me, you know, so it was a deal we worked out.
Okay.
But
it's probably going to get you fired. I shouldn't
no,
have even brought
it's,
it up.
It's, they're all leftovers, man. There's so much spare food in every industry in this country.
I like Tim's salt and vinegar.
But again, you got to be careful with the eye contact right afterwards, you know.
What do you mean?
That and the jalapenos.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, like, you're having trouble with popcorn over here.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You got a thorough wash before anywhere in this area.
You ever touch your pee hole after eating buffalo wings?
After eating buffalo wings? I can't say that I have.
That is a burning sensation that you would wish upon no man, no matter how
not
evil.
Not even your enemy.
Mm-mm.
That, you know, I now that you said that, I think that buffalo sauce honestly would kind of be a good lubricant, possibly, you know?
No.
I mean, maybe if you've got the mild flavored.
No, dude. Like, you know? you don't want
it's got
any,
the good consistency,
any
it's a little
level.
Thick.
Nope. That's not going to be good for anybody. That will, you will get assault charges for sure if you rub buffalo sauce on a woman's vagina somehow.
Ow, it's hurting. Oh, man. Buffalo sauce on your kitty cat. Man, I don't know. What else do you got here, Mitch? How's the LA life treating you, man? Tell me about that city, dude. I've never been. What is it? Are the people as terrible as everybody says they are?
No. I love living in Los Angeles. I lived in Seattle for 7 years, and I hated it after the first year. But LA just gets better and better. I wake up every day. The sun is shining. There are palm trees. I live walking distance from the ocean. Like, it is a good life. And then I go out, I do comedy on a pretty regular basis. I perform at the Laugh Factory sometimes. I just started getting up at the Comedy Store. Like, it's good, man. Like, I'm having fun. People who complain about it, I don't know what they're doing, because there's no reason why anyone should feel unhappy in LA. I mean, I will say that you're surrounded by the highest level of society. You know, like there are people who live in mansions with, like, it's unbelievable. So there is kind of like a being on the lower level of society that kind of sucks, but there's like really great hiking all around mm-hmm. the ocean, the beach. Like it's a good place to live, man.
When people talk about moving, you know, for comedy and stuff, and they have to decide between New York and LA, I have no clue what they're even deciding about. Like, there's no competition there. Like you said, the weather is beautiful.
I have like a romantic notion of what New York would be like. I do have friends in New York and I've gone to visit, and that romantic notion is completely fabricated. Like it is a fucked up city to live in.
Even the rats are gangsters, dude. Are you kidding me?
It's just, but like I have this picture of like getting on the subway and then hopping off and walking to comedy shows and stuff. Like it does seem like a cool place that you could live in and kind of grind it out. You know, like it seemed like that's a comedy city for sure. I don't know, if I wasn't with my girlfriend, I probably would have gone to New York within the last year. I probably would. Whenever I was freed up on my lease, I probably would have went to New York and at least tried it somehow. I don't know. Done something.
I just can't stand being around. I mean, I guess LA is not that much better, but just the density of people in a city like that, I couldn't take that shit. You know, sirens all the time, people yelling, anything going on, just, I don't know, it's too much. But yeah, LA though, that's a good spot. I mean, you know, the weather's nice. Again, a lot of people. I see some of those traffic jams they got down there on like Thanksgiving and shit. And
oh, in LA? Nah, it's every day.
Every
day.
No, that's Thursday.
On 405 is just terrible. You don't have to wait for any special occasions. You just have to pick your commute times and make sure you're not on the road when it sucks. I mean, you can go 4 miles and it'll take you half an hour to get there.
Yeah. Is it pretty crazy how much talent there is down there?
I think it's more crazy the lack of talent.
Really?
As far as like stand up goes, like some of the worst comedians I've seen are in LA, you know? Like, but I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good comics, but it's funny to like go to some shows and see some people performing and just being like, how? Why? Like, and like they think that, I don't know, like I don't want to sound, I'm not a mean person. You know, so I don't like to come off that way. But you do watch some people doing comedy, and you're like, what makes you think that this is something you could do? Yeah. Like, this is bad. But then I've been on shows also where, you know, I perform with some of the best in LA. So that's kind of cool, too.
It's still a pretty mixed bag down there. Yeah. That's interesting. I talked to, I got a friend that lives down there, comedian, and she was just telling me that, it's like all about who you know. You know, you got to have, if you have some ins, then you're good. You can get some time. You can get on some good shows. But, you know, if you don't really know anybody, then
it just takes time. I think I lucked out and knew enough people that I was able to start getting booked pretty regularly once I got down there just from doing comedy up here for so long.
Yeah.
But you just got to reach out. You got to let people know that you want to do their shows, and you got to be patient. And then you still have to go to shitty open mics and have people who perform on regular shows see you at the open mics and invite you to do their shows. Like you just gotta do it. You gotta put in the work.
Yeah.
It's a job.
Yeah.
It's a very poor paying job.
Yeah. That's, well, and that's the thing with open mics. Like, you know, you're going there, but yeah, you can definitely have somebody spot you, you know, make a connection with somebody like, oh shit, that was a fucking, that bit you did about that, that was really good, man. You know, so it's, yeah, it's a lot of, it's just getting your face out there.
And some of it sucks because you do kind of feel like at a certain point, like you don't feel comfortable working on material. You know, you kind of feel like every show there could be someone in the audience that matters. So you're constantly like trying to do well.
Yeah, it's true. You're trying to bring that A material up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is tricky. I guess you got to pick your spots, too. I mean, that's another thing that people don't think about when it comes to the comedy game, but you definitely got to pick your spots as far as material you're going to do, either you're going to work on new stuff, or you're going to go to the stuff you have solid down. So, it's a game, man. It's like everything else out there. It's a fucking game, and some people know how to play it, and some people aren't quite.
I'm still trying
versed.
To figure it out.
I think you never stop. I think you never stop. I think the second you stop trying to figure it out, I think you're done at that point.
Yeah.
So, and it comes back to the other things too. You know, it comes back to even talking with ladies. You know, it's like, I mean,
way to bring it back around.
Exactly. See, it's all about the comeback. You know. So. Yep. But well, shit, man. Let's wrap this puppy up. But definitely glad you made it out, man, and good to hear from you.
Thanks for having me on. Make sure you come see me this Thursday.
Yeah. What other? You got any other shows or this Thursday the 14th?
So September 14th at Laughs, and then whatever Sunday's date is. So 15th, September 17th at Tacoma Comedy Club. I'll be doing the Dope Show.
Oh, okay. Dope Show down at TCC. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good spot. All right, you guys
more
on the
like
South
THC.
End. Ooh, it's going to be that night at least. Nice. All right. Well, yeah, glad you made it out. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. And thank you guys for listening. We definitely appreciate you. Episode number, I think this is number 90 here. I think this is number 90.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're creeping up on that not important round number of 100. So, if anything, it should be 104. That's the important number.
Why is that?
Because that's 2 years. You know, we've been doing a show a week.
Oh,
so
wow.
Be
yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly 2 years, you know. So that's more important. But 100's nice and round, you know. Sounds good. So a little Franklin action. But, yeah, thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it. Check us out on Twitter at Earful in E-City. Marcus still triggering feminists on a daily basis. So get down on that. Check that out. And, yeah, give us a shout at emeraldcitypodcast@gmail.com. And let us know what you guys think, anything you want us to talk about, all that good stuff. Yeah, thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. And we will talk with you guys next week.